Flipping your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 119, verses 97 through 120. Psalm 119, 97 through 120. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. O, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I suppose that Psalm 119:97 is a verse that is very, very familiar to us all. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 1 begins with the godly man who will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in its due season. And one of the things that characterizes that godly man is that he meditates in the law of his God day and night. This is exactly what the psalmist writes here, that the law of God is that which forms the foundation for our thinking. Always and again in the Scripture, over and over, from one end of the Scriptures to the other, we hear about the occupation of the mind and how that the godly man's mind is occupied with the statutes of God. And what that was, but anyway. And how that the ungodly man's thoughts, well, as it is described, God is not in his thoughts at all. So notice here in three parallel phrases, the psalmist sets before our eyes the desirability of meditating and learning from the law of God. Notice, O how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. The they there is not the enemies, it's the statutes of God. They are ever with me. Let's get it right. Let's get the right antecedent to the pronoun. And then, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Over and again, the psalmist writes that the law is his meditation, and because it is his meditation, it works out into his living. Now, let us remember that we cannot expect to live as Christians if we do not first gather the Word of God to our minds. Our minds, we must learn, as one theologian of the last century said, we must learn to think God's thoughts after Him. The way we do that is by learning to think His Word. It is not a mystical thing. It is saturating your minds with Scripture such that when we go to act, when we go to speak, it is Scripture that comes forth. Jesus Himself said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not that which comes out of the... It's not that which goes into the man that defiles him, it's that which comes out that defiles him. Because what comes out reveals what's on the inside. The Apostle Paul said it this way, we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The battle is for your minds, brothers and sisters. It's always going to be. The Scriptures are very clear in warning us over and again and teaching us over and again that if we will be successful in Christian life, then we must guard what goes in. We must set what goes in to be upon the Scriptures. It must be the Bible. Now, some of us are more mature than others. We can handle different kinds of input. We understand that. We let out those exposures to those who are ready. We must have the foundation of the Word of God by which then we are inoculated so that we can rightly evaluate those negative influences that exist out there in the world and with which we must deal. The Apostle Paul said, when I told you to stay away from fornicators, I didn't mean the fornicators of this world. Otherwise, you're going to have to leave the world. We must know how to handle them. We must know how to think regarding them and around them and not to partake of their vanities. And the only way we're going to do that is if we begin when we're little wee tykes and we saturate our minds with Scripture over and again. And we continue to press it to our children. And when we get into our adolescence, we take up that charge and we continue our memory work. Adolescence, I'm speaking to you. And if you're an adolescent, that means you're 9 or 10 and beyond. Take up some responsibility. Don't wait for your parents to tell you to read the Bible. Pick it up yourselves. Get up in the morning, grab your Bibles, begin reading, work your memory work, and let that memory work saturate your thinking. I could go on and on. This is a sermon in and of itself, isn't it? Let's remember, one of the successes that the psalmist writes about here in Psalm 119 is what the law of God does for him in his behavior because he has planted it, firmly rooted it in his thinking. Remember the first set of verses we read? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Remember that? Yeah. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Remember that? Okay. Over and over again, we see these same precepts. So this is the first section, Mem. The second section, Nun. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the psalmist continues on in this same vein. It's a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Maps are a lot easier today than they used to be. I remember back in 1999, all that many years ago, I was working in a position that required a lot of travel from me. We didn't have these things that we call phones that are actually everything in the whole wide world. You know, I didn't have a Garmin that you could put on the dashboard. What you did was, before you left the house, you got out the map and you opened up the map and you looked at where you needed to go and you drew that all out. Then you took that map with you and you had highlighted it. And I don't know, maybe some of you remember this. You set that map, hopefully you had one that was commensurate with your steering wheel, so that you could set that map there and you're holding the map and the steering wheel and you're going, right? And I can remember even doing that when I first came to Texas in 98. It was in February of 98. And there was no sun. It was clouded over. And so I landed, and I could not tell north, south, east from west. And I didn't have a compass. And so I had a map, but, you know, turning it upside down, left and right, I couldn't figure out where I was. And so I put that, you know, I went to the budget, rent a car, and they gave me this 11 by 17 sheet of paper that was the map, you know. And so I put that on the steering wheel, and I'm driving. Okay, all right, I think I got it. Okay, yep, uh-huh. All right, good. And about 30 minutes later, so after I left the budget rent-a-car, I said, oh, yeah, look at that. There's another budget rent-a-car. Oh, it's the same one. I'd driven around in a circle for 30 minutes, didn't even know it. Okay? Now, how much more foolish would it have been if I just said, put the map away, I'm intuitively going to feel my way where I'm going. It was foolish enough that I didn't know where I was going. But how much more foolish would it be if I said, I don't need a map? What does the psalmist say? Thy word is a light and a lamp. How much do we need a map? What is our need for a map? Are any of us born with an intuitive righteousness so that we know the way to go? Can any of us find heaven by intuitively feeling after it? Can any of us find God by intuitively feeling after Him? Of course, the answer to that question is no. In fact, the Scriptures give a resounding no as an answer to that question. Okay, then the next question is perhaps a little more convicting. Then why sometimes do we act as if we don't need the map? Why sometimes do we behave ourselves as if we don't need to consult the Scriptures for the next step? To ask the question is to answer it, right? All right, so notice what he says. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. You know that sometimes keeping the commandments of God, walking after his commandments, leads us into affliction, and the Lord would have it so. The answer, as we heard in the last hour, when that takes place, is what? More Bible. That's right. More understanding, not less. So that we know how to handle those afflictions. So we are given a path through the afflictions, that light to our feet, and so on. So it's very, very important. The psalmist is driving us very closely to the Word over and again. All right, so then, in the third section, Samech. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Did you hear the antithesis? What is the word vain? What does that word mean? Vain. I know that we have homonyms in the English language, and so that green thing in your arm is a vein. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's not that kind of a vein. V-A-I-N. And that kind of vein means empty. In the ancient mindset, think of a scale, right? A fulcrum and two arms and two sets of three chains that come down to two plates, and you put something on one side and something on the other. Something that's vain always goes up. That's what vain means to the ancient mindset. Vain means up, and glorious, heavy, means down. So, like that. Glorious, that which is worthy, heavy, substantive, glorious, that goes down in the balance. And that which is vain always goes up. And so the psalmist draws for us an antithesis, two sides of the scale. On the one side, the Word of God, heavy, worthwhile, substantive, glorious. And on the other side, all other vain thoughts. They go up in the balance, and God's Word always goes down. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I do hope in thy word. So notice When we say, I am, or sorry, thou art my hiding place and my shield, once again, this is not mystical. This is not, you know, I have my Christian force field up or anything silly like that. This is, I have saturated my mind with the scriptures, therefore I have this mindset of being protected, held by God, protected by Him so that nothing can befall me except the Lord bring it to pass. That's what it means to be safe. It doesn't mean that you will never be injured, never be afflicted, never persecuted, and never martyred. But it does mean that every step of the way, you will be protected. Every step of the way, you will be comforted with the knowledge that the very God who has saved you is the God that has ordered these afflictions for your good and His glory. That's how it works. All right, so then the psalmist goes on to describe his own helplessness. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And so the psalmist recognizes his own powerlessness. He's not able to save himself. He's not able to preserve his life. Notice the company that he desires to keep in verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for, because, key in the Hebrew, because, for the purpose that I will keep the commandments of my God. So we learn from this verse what kind of friends and associations we ought to gather around ourselves. Right? Evildoers, what do? Well, they weaken our resolve. Right? Evil associations corrupt good ethics is really like a modern day translation of, what is it, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil associations corrupt good ethics. Again, we understand that we must have some associations in this world. We understand that. The Apostle Paul understood it. But he told us to order those associations according to a proper kind of priority so that our manners, our morals, our ethics are not corrupted. All right, then finally, we see in verse 120, I'm going to skip to the end, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Afraid of thy judgments. You say, well, Pastor Todd, doesn't John say in 1 John that perfect love casts out all fear? It does. It does. Notice that the psalmist did not say that he was shut up to the judgments of God, but he did say that the chastisements of God, even upon his own people, when they err and when they sin, that they can be used. Thinking of those judgments can be used, rightly used, as a motivation for holiness, as a motivation for obedience. We're going to read a little bit later. We're going to talk about our relationship to authorities. And there are several passages in the Proverbs where Solomon says things like, I'm just going to paraphrase rather than look up the passage, you know, you really don't want to get on the bad side of the king. That's not particularly a good thing. If it's true of the king, how much more would it be true of the Lord? He is a faithful father. Hebrews 12 tells us that he will chase us down and he will chastise us because he is faithful. Certainly. And so the psalmist writes, knowing that, I'm afraid of thy judgments. That's what I want to avoid. Thy favor is what I'd like to seek, right? All right, thus ends the reading of those three sections in Psalm 119. Let's stand and call upon